We are delighted to be with Christopher Dickey, who has come to us because he's written a book called Securing the City, talking about the counter-terror force in New York with the police department. I was really amazed, and after you had come to press with this book, at the inauguration of Barack Obama, where 2 million plus people came together on one day in one place. And I am told, during the course of that day, there were no arrests. Mm. There might have been a few pockets picked, but and then people went home. Now that's not just prevention.
Mm-mm. No, that's that has to do with the spirit of the country. I mean, you don't want to sound kind of airy-fairy talking about this, because you got bad guys with guns and bombs and doing all kinds of crazy stuff out there. But the truth is, the best thing you've got going for you is the community that rejects those kinds of actions. And, you know, in telling the history of terrorism in New York, there are a lot of examples before 9/11, too. There was one very conspicuous one when 1997, where two Palestinians decided they were going to blow themselves up on the B train under the East River, and they were living in a shack on Park Slope in Brooklyn, and they had a couple of flatmates. And one of them was a young Egyptian guy who had won the lottery for a green card. And all he wanted to do was build his future in America. They showed him the bomb, and he went out on the street looking for a cop. It took him 7 or 8 hours trying to convince the police there was a problem here.
And his English was...
Because he didn't speak English. All he could say was, bomba, bomba. And there were problems finding translators, a lot of things that would not happen now.
And the cop he did find was a transit cop, and he did.
Absolutely. It's a great story. I didn't know how much time I had to go into it. But the bottom line is, he believed in the dream. And he did not want to be implicated in this act of terror. And he stopped it from happening. And if he had not done what he did, then those two guys, one of them would have blown himself up, and when the rescue workers came, the second one would have blown himself up, and you would have had a situation... It was a hell of a lot more grotesque and bloody and horrible than even what happened in London in 2005.
I'm struck by it comes up time and again, the character of the New Yorkers, basically they can take a punch. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that's part of the lesson. We're going to get hit. The question is, are we going to collapse? Do we have glass jaws? Are we going to react manically, frantically, stupidly?
And we're not somehow exempt from getting hit.
Or are we going to take a punch and keep moving forward, doing whatever is possible to prevent that, but knowing that it's not written anywhere that we're not going to get punched?
No, that's right. I mean, I think that New York could sustain a lot of terrorist attacks and still keep going, as indeed London did, Paris did.
Madrid.
It obviously couldn't sustain a nuclear attack, but I think that is actually it probably could eventually.
It would.
But it the emphasis on these weapon of mass destruction scenarios, that's really fear mongering. The police and the federal government, they need to worry about this. They need to focus on it. They need to have detection devices. But the truth is, no terrorist organization has ever come close to obtaining real weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, you're talking about these cities. We fail to say Jerusalem, we fail to say Gaza, we fail to say the places in the Middle East that have just been pummeled for centuries, mm-hmm. millennia, that people do live their lives. We did a show within the last week with the former United States ambassador to Israel, who was saying, until we really get serious and are less innocent abroad, as he calls his book, that we really cannot reasonably deal with this kind of issue, that we have to be out in the world, we have to be using diplomacy, we have to be engaged with people, we have to get off our high horse. He didn't say that, I say that.
Well, he's right about that, but you also have to understand the way people's minds work in very fundamental ways. And one of the things that I think too much, I think Martin understands this very well, but I think too often people fail to understand the impact of humiliation on a society. If you're humiliated enough, what do? You give up, you roll over, you say, yeah, humiliate me again? No, if you can get your own back, sometimes by doing really stupid things. You'll do it. That's just the way guys are.
It's sort of that song you used to sing when you were going to school in Atlanta, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very much like that. It's very much like
Come
that.
Back when we can talk about something that's at least this much fun and maybe a lot more fun. Democracy is always a work in progress, and you've shown some interesting lights on some pretty dark places that we need to look at. Thank you very
Thank
much
you, Paul.
Indeed. Christopher Dickey's book, Securing the City, reads a lot like a police thriller, and it reminds us both of what makes the United States powerful and what protects us best, the American promise of liberty and justice for all. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.